eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Off Track with Hinch and Rossi.
Hello and welcome to Off Track with Hinch and Rossi. I'm surprised we're actually doing it this week because apparently James is the busiest man on earth.
Yeah.
Because for the past 72 hours, it's been trying to find a time that he keeps being like, oh, well, I've got a lot of dominoes to try and move around. And I'm sorry, you're not, I mean, you are employed, but you're not, what are you doing, James?
You're not
You're not super employed.
Well, here's the problem, guys. Here's the problem. When you don't have one big job that pays all your bills, you have to have lots of little jobs that pay your bills in pieces, and sometimes it's hard to coordinate them all.
Well, luckily, this doesn't pay any bills for you.
I mean, it kind of does. Kerchek pays bills for me.
No, I'm saying the
podcast. Can we talk about where you are? Oh, yeah.
That's the podcast.
So, yes, James. Yes. So, you are doing a lot of gigs, let's say.
Yeah, I see a storyboard.
You're doing
a
very
there.
Specific gig today.
I am. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to announce I made my big screen debut on one of Becky's movies. So we
or is it like a medium screen debut?
Well, they call it small screen, right? Because this is going straight to television, I think, right? Oh, it's going to, really? It's going to Amazon Prime? Are you allowed to say that?
Nothing wrong with that.
There you go. We got a movie on Prime, apparently. And no, this is the best part. So Becky landed this gig, and it was shooting up in Ontario, and it was all booked, it was all ready to go. And then like a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, her agent emailed her and said, hey, I just got this email from the production company. Have a look and tell me what you think. And the email was from one of the producers saying, crazy idea. Tell me what you think. We have this uncast part for the best friend of the male lead. It's only two scenes. They're pretty simple, but we think it'd be hilarious if James wanted to do
it. Best friend of the male lead, who is the one that is...
That's gonna
Alex,
be,
I'm getting to that point.
The one that is, the one that is
I've
with
seen the
female,
movie she does.
The female lead, which is your wife. So you're the friend of the guy that your wife is, in theory, with.
Best friend. And worst case, one of my two scenes, 50% of my effort in this movie is convincing this man to go for it with the girl because she sounds like a keeper. Again, just to circle back and close the loop.
So you lie.
The girl is my wife.
So, I mean, I guess it's kind of cool you can speak from experience.
Yeah, well, I can. So, like, the opening line of that scene is supposed
really
to be,
acting.
Dude, she sounds like a keeper. Right. But so I ruined a couple takes inadvertently because I was like, dude, she doesn't close any drawers, any cupboards. She doesn't tighten any lids. She spills on
everything.
It's a nightmare. You don't need this in your life right now. You just got a promotion. Let's not. And then the director steps in. And he's like, you need a minute, bud? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, sorry. Fine. I'm sorry. That was unprofessional. I apologize. Let me set her again. We'll be good to go. So yeah, so I had to like full on act stuff and learn lines and do wardrobe and all sorts of crazy stuff. So I'm gonna be I got a speaking role in a movie, which is kind of exciting.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, at least you're no stranger to the makeup.
Yeah, it's like the first picture Becky took when we got here was me in the makeup chair. Just I'm like, why do we always have to do that? Yeah. You, her, everybody's just got to take that picture.
Yeah.
But at least there was no guy liner and there was no fake tan, so it's still considerably better.
And at least he didn't have to shave. Stars.
I did not have to shave, which that probably would have been a deal breaker.
So I have a question, and you sure. might not be able to answer it. Do we like this guy?
Yeah, Becky
loves him.
The annoying thing is, yeah, she does. Becky loves him. He's a really nice guy. He's a super nice dude, and he's actually very attractive, which I don't love, but that's right. just going to be par for the course with Becky's on-screen husbands, and she's going to get married for like the 14th time. Apparently, ours wasn't good enough, so she keeps practicing on redos. I think for her next one. But he's pretty cool. He was pretty cool.
Well, that's
everybody was cool.
That's exciting. Because it's a fairly small role, do you still get paid to do this?
Yeah. Cool. Minimum, I definitely got paid.
Wow.
Yeah. So they it's called scale. Scale is what they have to pay you legally. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a day rate, and I actually got a little bit more than that.
So. You got a five scale. Look at you.
Yeah.
You know what? Who really wins here is Becky's agent, because I'm sure he got your 10% too.
Do you want to know what's kind of sad is of the three of us now, James has made the most on movies.
I would doubt that.
That's just not true.
I would doubt that.
Yeah. As much as we like to on Tim's career, he's actually been very successful at writing screenplays.
been in a movie.
Oh. Well,
It's true.
Been in a few. Actually.
Do we want to recount that?
No. I wasn't even thinking about that one. I was thinking about I've had a speaking role in a movie. It was the weirdest thing though. I had to make out with a topless 35-year-old Russian woman when I was 19, and it was the least erotic thing you could imagine, because there's like 50 people around you, and they're like, okay, can you come in at a little bit of an angle? And then in between
tell me that the 19-year-old, you can't cut this. Don't tell me that the 19-year-old Tim wasn't excited about the fact
It sounded really cool at the beginning, and then I got there and it was not, because it was just like, I just met this woman, we're standing across from each other, and it's like, yeah, Trevor was a bitch today.
I don't believe a second of that.
And then they cut the whole scene. Not just my part, the entire scene was cut from the movie. So now I tell people this story, and it's not even in the movie. It's called Cougars Inc. It's they cut my entire scene.
That's you got paid, so it's fine. Do you still get like an IMDb credit if your scene gets cut from a movie that you did still work on and get paid for?
I don't know. That's a good question. I can go check. It's Jim Belushi, Sarah Hyland was in it. I don't see
you
myself. Guys,
did you meet Jim Belushi?
He was not there that day. Denise
the
Richards
chick you're
was
making
in
out
it.
With.
You know what? I don't remember. It was 13 years ago.
I feel like that's something you'd remember.
It was such a weird day.
He remembers.
He does know.
He's just playing hard.
I bet he looks her up on Instagram every once in a while.
I'm looking.
Slid in those DMs.
Oh yeah, no, I am. I am. It says I'm uncredited on IMDb, so somebody added me, but it's uncredited.
It's probably her.
Probably.
She was. I know.
First woman to unadd you from something.
I know firsthand this guy was in this movie.
Oh, okay. So yes, that's what I'm up to at the minute. Alex, you've just had a bit of a weekend. Obviously, we were not racing, but you still took in a little on track action.
Yeah, so I went down, as we talked about last week, I went down to Miami to watch the F1 race, was a guest of AutoNation, who, let me just say, like, I'm not just saying this because they're my partner. I think we can all pick out a couple of big names that have been in IndyCar over the past decade and a half or so that have really done a great job in terms of their activations and what they do. And contribute to the support to the sport in terms of not only financially, but just what they bring to the table. You know, I think Target's one of them. I think obviously
Cambridge.
DHL was one. Gamebridge was one. I think AutoNation is in that list as well, because they went to, obviously they're based in Fort Lauderdale, which was close to where the race was. And they just did an entire weekend for kind of their executives, but also some of their customers, some of their, dealerships. There was also some giveaways to just people that had bought cars from AutoNation, and hosted everyone for kind of 3 days. And that was either hosted in kind of the F1 Hospitality or AutoNation's own hospitality that was part of the Hard Rock Stadium, or in the entire Turn 8, 9 grandstand, which AutoNation purchased. It was amazing to see kind of the excitement that they were able to generate to people that had never been to an F1 race before. And so a huge, huge thanks to them. I was there with Simon and Elio as well. And I got to say, I mean, as much as we've all kind of seen and witnessed the past 2 weeks, kind of the build up to Miami and then the race itself happening, they did an amazing job. I mean, Formula One really has got their act together in a lot of ways. You know, there was obviously some hiccups considering it was a first year event, you know, as always, there's going to be that. You know, the biggest issue that they had honestly was getting staff there, you know, with, and I think that's a huge issue for most industries. You know, you go to restaurants and, you know, they talk about how they're not full capacity because they can't get servers and chefs and everything. So this was kind of a similar situation. So there was a little bit left on the table there in terms of just the overall experience. That coupled with the fact that it was like 95 degrees, it was uncomfortable at times, but I have to say just the energy there and the excitement there for the race was very impressive and something that I am a little bit jealous of. But neither here nor there, there was a lot of like things that I think the three of us, well, there was quite a few IndyCar drivers there, but you know, I actually just got off a call with some of the marketing team at IndyCar and kind of shared thoughts and experiences and, you know, ideas of what I saw over the weekend. And I think, you know, in a lot of respects, they're going to take this and the goods and the bads that they saw themselves from the F1 event and try and apply it to our series. So it is interesting because I was talking to a few people that were there. A couple of them, well, I would say the majority of them had never been to a race before. They were not at all race fans. They wanted to be there because of the event of Formula One. Mm-hmm. And one of the more encouraging conversations that I had was I talked to someone whose friend wasn't able to make it. So it was these two guys and his friend wasn't able to make it. Because the cost was just too high.
Yeah, we talked about this before. It was ridiculous. Right.
And he decided that instead of going to an F1 race, he's going to go to an IndyCar race.
There you go.
So in a way, you know, hopefully, you know, they continue to price themselves out. And as the interest in motorsports continues to grow, we can kind of get the others. But yeah, I mean, it is something that, you know, we need to seriously address, I think, as a series, just in terms of getting people excited about the event, especially the people inside the city. Mm-hmm. You know, it was amazing to see just the whole city fall in love with it.
So kind of to that point, like, this is something that we've talked about a little bit, right? It's the, I still firmly believe when it comes to motorsports, rising tide lifts all ships. And so I think that's case in point right there. I don't think F1 growing in the U.S., is taking away a single IndyCar fan. I don't think there's anyone that was watching IndyCar races, attending IndyCar races, buying merchandise, supporting sponsors, that in the last 3 years since Drive to Survive or whatever is like, no, you know what? This isn't as sexy or elite or cool or whatever. I'm going to stop doing that and I'm only going to support Formula One. I just don't think that that's happened to a single fan. Mm-hmm. So if that story that you just told multiplies, you know, to any extent, we are essentially just gaining fans because people who are brand new to motorsports have been like, okay, I like this. Maybe I'll like this too. Or I like this, but can't afford it. So I'll try the one that I can afford. So I still think it is overall a positive. Yes, there are still tons of lessons that we can learn and things that we have to apply to make our events a little bit closer. But I still think overall F1 success isn't a terrible thing for us.
I don't think it's a terrible thing in terms of fan attendance.
Sponsorship is what I worry about.
Sponsorship and viewership, I think, is the biggest issue. You know, I think you're going to have it. The majority of our races, our fan turnout is pretty good. You know, it's all right. Where we seriously lack compared to even like Cup, for example, we lack the TV audience, number one. But what we lack more than that is the people in that city aware of the fact that we're in that city. And I think that the case in point to that is the TV numbers for the F1 race came out, and they were very good. But the thing that stood out to me
to quite strong
was the first two cities were Miami and then West Palm Beach. So like those people that weren't there were still heavily invested in that event that was happening in town. The problem is when we go to Portland, right? The number one market is Indianapolis.
It's still Indianapolis.
And then Columbus, Ohio, right? Like, yes, that's our core audience, but people in Portland need to be the number one audience. And then you fall back on the core audience that exists in Indy that can't make it out to that trip. So I think that that is the biggest issue that we have. It's not the people that are going to go to the race, because those people are going to go to the race if they want to be outside for the weekend and IndyCar is relatively affordable, right? So they're going to go to that,
right?
Regardless of whether they are a fan of F1 or not, just because they want to hang out with their friends and family for the weekend and do something different, right? It's the people that are at home choosing what to watch. You need those people in that city to be pumped up that we're in town. And we don't do that.
I don't disagree. It's like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know how to market an IndyCar race to a local market as a promoter, but it does seem like we go to a couple of places where there's almost zero local promotion. And it's like in the promoter agreements with IndyCar, we need to put in, here's a minimum spend. Like, yes, you finally pay a sanction fee and you do all these other things, but there's a minimum spend on in-market advertising that has to happen from 6 months out, 3 months out, 1 month out, week of kind of thing, and break it down. But again, I don't know if that's how this stuff works.
Well, it'll be hugely interesting to see how what the end result of Iowa is, because I think we have a partner.
Yeah, they're doing massive
in Hy-Vee. We have the promoter is IndyCar, right? And there is pretty much an unlimited spend happening through Hy-Vee that is allowing that to become an event. Now,
right,
if that garners the attention of Des Moines, Iowa, which I'm sorry, shouldn't be hard. Right.
There's not much else going on.
And you're bringing in really big acts in terms of, you know, concert performers, and their Hy-Vee is headquartered there. So there's a huge amount of things that are happening for the positive. I'm really expecting that to be, okay, you're going to land in Des Moines. You're going to be like, you know, there's something going on. And I really think that that's going to be a market on TV numbers that's going to be up there. Hopefully.
It's an interesting point.
And if that's the case, then I think you have exactly the architecture and the framework of what you need to do for all other 16 races, 15 mm-hmm. races.
Yeah, you got a perfect case study on how to do it. Right. Yeah. The one thing that I would be very curious to know, and I'm sure it will never come out. Actually, I say that. It might. Obviously, year one of any event like what we saw in Miami is going to be a loss financially. Like, you cannot recover that in a single season. Sure. Like, it's just not possible. And you got to remember, like, ticket prices being as insane as they were, that was aftermarket, right? So those grandstands were going secondary for that. So it'd be interesting to know what it cost to do that race. And obviously, they got a 10-year contract, I think, 15. Right, for that event? Wow, okay. So you're, you know, amortizing that loss over 15 years. But what year does it cross over and start making a profit? Because the cost of some of the things that they did, even that are just like, okay, so the cost of laying the track, building the pit, all that, okay, fine. That's that you amortize over all that time. But building the grandstands every year, building the beach, the fake beach club every year, all the hospitality suites, the yacht in the moat thing on the, you know, on the fake river, all that stuff, as we know, is not inexpensive to do. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to see, like, operate now that all the, you know, capital outlay for the build is done, the operating costs from year 2 to 10, if they're actually going to recover that every year with you know, ticket sales and suite sales and all the rest of it, because it looked like a phenomenally expensive event to hold.
I mean, I think you will, because you got to remember, there's massive partners that are going to start sponsoring that event. You know, the first year, Hard Rock.
They already have, right?
Right. But the first year, Hard Rock was kind of absorbing most of it. And in a way, yes, it was a loss, but it was also a marketing expense for Hard Rock and the stadium and everything, right? Fine. I think that you're going to see, especially if the trajectory that they're currently on continues. I mean, we already saw, like, there was another American brand that was added to a car last minute, and I forget who it was, and it was like people were hopping on board the Thursday of the event. I think
yeah,
it's only going to get bigger from that standpoint. So yes, I don't see that there's I don't believe Liberty Media, being the company that they are, right, is going to go through exercises of losing money, right? They're going.
But it's not their money on that one, right? It's the group that promoted the race. It's the Dolphins guy.
Yeah,
and you know, how many years of loss is he willing to take to keep that event up? I guess is what.
Well,
and
then, I mean,
at what point do you go back to the city and you go back to the state and say, look at all the revenue we're bringing in for you guys? And
well, up until probably this year, there was 10 Formula One teams that were willing to take a massive loss every single year to go racing. So who knows?
Yeah, that's a great point. It was a very good point.
And I do know for a fact, this is the last thing on Miami, that they are going to have it be a real beach/river pond thing next year. The only reason it wasn't was because they couldn't get permits and zoning done in time with the city of Fort Lauderdale. But now that they have a year, it will be done.
That's so funny. Yeah. Okay, sorry. One last thing on Miami. This is what I want your opinion on. You might even have a little bit of insight. One of the things that I hear a lot about after that event from a lot of people, and this is people, you know, generally it's kind of fans, but some people even inside the industry were saying things like, yeah, we need to get more celebrities out to IndyCar races because look at how many celebrities came out to Miami. So there's it's kind of like a twofold thing. First off, I mean, how many of them were there of their own volition versus being there because they were paid to make an appearance? It was a spot, like, you know, Tom Brady was there because of the connection with IWC, which sponsors Lewis and Mercedes. Would Tom Brady have gone if he didn't have a corporate partner that was activating heavily at that race? Like examples like that, you know, how many of them went because they were just diehard fans of motorsport and wanted to be at an F1 race? And how many of them, was it a business trip essentially?
I bet it's split.
But yeah, is it 50-50?
Yeah,
is
no, 70-30? I'd say it's probably split 50-50 because there are a couple people whose names I won't mention who I know specifically went to their partners and asked for hospitality, asked for the experience, asked for access. So yes, there was already, I don't know necessarily that anyone went there because out and called Formula One and was like, hey, I need to be here. This is who I am. Let me come. It was people that they had a connection with Red Bull. They had a connection with Lewis, right? So they were like, this sounds pretty sick. It's in Miami. Can I come? Type thing. So I do believe that there was a significant amount of people that went off their own idea and weren't being paid to be there. But I highly doubt the number is very high of people that went there that had zero connection to anyone there. Maybe.
Right.
But no, I don't think people.
And then because the other side of it too, right, is like it's Miami. Like everybody would go to Miami for a weekend. That's a great
it's Miami
place to go. Right. Yes. Fine. Miami. I mean, right. All those people were staying in Miami.
Right.
So it's 1 second.
But can we talk about how phenomenal that picture was of Lewis Hamilton, David Beckham, Tom Brady, and Michael Jordan?
That is one of the coolest sporting photos I think that's ever been taken.
Yes, 100%.
The amount of success and, I mean, I'm just going to say it, like earnings, career earnings that was in that one photo is just baffling. Like it's GDP level, GDP of small country level in that one photo.
Yeah, and what's crazy is like, two of those people's more successful and wealthy partners weren't in it, in that picture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. That's a very good point.
Are we calling
Posh more successful than David Beckham?
No, but okay.
But also very successful.
Also very wealthy.
Yeah, and we all know Giselle's killing it.
Right.
So
I think the crazy thing to think about is, you know, the baseball player, Michael Jordan, he also played basketball.
I hate you so much when you say stuff with your mouth.
That was a little funny.
this is pretty good. Okay, so that was Miami. Miami was neat. Max won. I mean, I don't know if you watched, if anybody actually watched the race for the sake of the race.
I had it on in the background.
Terrible race.
It was.
I did
a
love the fact that
terrible race.
Sorry.
It's a horrible race.
Yeah, I mean, there was a pass for the lead at some point. There was nearly another one, which I guess is good for F1. My favorite part was just Russell calling the VSC, right? Because he comes on the radio and, you know, he was on the alternate tire strategy basically. And he's like, no, let's pit on the last lap if we have to get our other tires. Cause if we get a virtual safety car, we'll, you know, get a free pit stop essentially. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, Lando crashed in virtual safety car and he looks like the Tony Romo of race car driver.
I'm going to start just calling out things I need to happen and see if it happens.
Just get on the radio. Just start saying it, man. Just start saying it.
Yellow. Now. Yellow. Please. Yellow.
Better fuel mileage.
More success. More pace.
Passing this guy now.
Extra push to pass.
Man. All right. So we are heading to... I'm watching Becky try to get changed in this small trailer. It's like a small little motorhome thing, and we're sharing a trailer.
You didn't even get your own trailer?
No, I said they didn't have to get me a trailer because I was only going to be there for a day. I don't think like the eighth lead gets a trailer anymore.
No. So
I'm just lucky that I happen to be married to the lead. So I've got, but yes. Bye, good luck. Knock him dead, break a leg.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes. Okay. So that's all done. And then now it's May. I know it was May and Barber, but like now it's May. So
it's like May, proper May.
It's like proper May.
Super May.
Go to the Super May. Are you okay? So how busy is your May, Alex? Has it already been filled up to the brim outside the obvious driving duties? This is obviously a month where a lot of,
and our live show.
And our live show, which is happening on the 16th at Sun King downtown Indianapolis. Tickets are sold out. Sorry. But yes, how busy has your month filled up so far?
Dude, I honestly average. Don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't get sent, unfortunately, schedules very often or frequently. So I couldn't tell you.
See,
honestly, my calendar is empty except for a live broadcast. A Firestone annual, whatever, and then hold for tag Reese Nichols appearance. That is all that I have that is not in a race car, which clearly is false.
Yeah,
I was gonna say I think I have more events.
Yeah, I don't
than
understand.
You.
I don't. I've been asking to know what my events are, and everyone's like, "Oh, they're there. You have some."
So when when you are unemployed and don't have a team or PR or anything, you have to do all that scheduling stuff yourself. So I know how busy my schedule is, but I don't. So this is a funny story. So well, you were off gallivanting with the rich and famous in Miami.
Yeah, right. LA was there.
we had the Rev event at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which is always kind of like the unofficial kickoff to the month of May. Huge, you know, high price ticket, fancy to do at the Speedway. It benefits the IU Health Foundation and the Infield Medical Center. Really cool event coming up on its 10th year now. It's just awesome. Normally everybody loves going. It's really the first kind of kickoff event of May. So a lot of drivers obviously couldn't make it this year because so many had commitments in Miami. But I went and I was asked to help, you know, Dave Calabro goes on stage and he like does the driver intros, everybody's there, and maybe a little, you know, spiel shtick, whatever. And he asked if I could help him out with, you know, rolling through the roll call of the drivers that were there. So I said, sure. And that was not going to be until like 8 o'clock. They normally do that a little bit into the night. Well, I'm driving to the track for the event and I've got my brother and his girlfriend and my brother-in-law Ivan with me. And I get a text message from one of the PR from the Speedway saying, hey, where are you? You know, we're wondering, are you nearly here for your 6:30 interview? And I said, what's 6:30 interview? And I got sent a snapshot of like the full schedule of events. Like I was like the drivers get, right? So it was like, it literally said at the top driver schedule and it had red carpet this time, photo shoot here, this interview live, this interview with Catalyst, this. And I was just like, nobody told me any of that stuff. I had no idea that I was expecting. I was like, I don't have a PR anymore. Like, nobody told me that I'm not a driver. I don't know. I had no idea these were my responsibilities. I'm very sorry, but I'm not. Like, I was already half an hour late for what I was supposed to be doing, and I'd already missed three things, and I was still on my way there. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. We made it work, but it was comical.
I don't know how to follow that up. Rev did look like,
yeah, Rev looks that's fun.
That's my scheduling story.
What's amazing is I got, well, not just me, a lot of us got lit up on the internet for being, and I quote one guy, sucking on the teat of Formula One instead of supporting the biggest race in the world at Rev. And I said, cool. You know all those people that pay for us to race at the biggest race in the world? They asked for us to be there. So shut the f- up.
Yeah. It's insanity.
No, that's ridiculous. It speaks to what, James, you were talking about with the rising tide raising all ships. It's like, I hate to say it because I love IndyCar. If you're going to get into an us versus them mentality against F1, they're going to win. They're spending, what, you said $250 million on hospitality at one race in Vegas. Like, that's not...
It's not apples to apples, right? You can't directly compare the two. I mean, the fact that on the average race weekend, Miami race numbers aside, the average race weekend, you know, we beat them in ratings. They have a budget so astronomically higher than ours to do everything that, yeah, I mean, yeah, they should be beating us. It's embarrassing for them almost. Like, it just shows that there's still a long way to go in this country, but
It's not apples to apples. It's apples to Apple, the company.
It's apples to the tree.
They're Apple though.
I just realized.
Yeah, exactly.
I was sitting here drinking my set drink. This is
your fake Diet Coke.
It's real. It's real. Spoiler alert: it's real Diet Coke. We just put a new label on it.
So it is. Well, it is small screen because they can't even pay the rights to have Diet Coke in there.
Yes. Coke. Yes. Hey, it's Amazon, bro. It's straight to streaming.
As much as I want to talk about the guy who landed a plane with no experience.
Oh, my God.
Or the prison guard that got the guy out of jail.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well.
Not great. We do have an Ask Alex.
Ooh, yes. Hold on. I just want to interject here and just say to you two, what a phenomenal idea this segment was.
Alex's idea.
I've had so many people come up to me and be like, oh, my God, Ask Alex is the greatest thing ever. So your unbridled negativity and encouragement of bad decisions is just so welcomed by our fans, and I love it. So let's hear our latest Alex. And
I'm really excited about hearing Alex's advice on this one too. All right, so we got this email in. Happy Mother's Day, gentlemen, because it came in on Mother's Day. Apologies in advance because this will probably set the record. Yeah, that's fair. Apologies in advance because this will probably set the record as the longest Ask Alex question the show has seen or will ever see.
He's already rubbing his eyes. He's already doing the, oh, God.
My wife is pregnant with our second child and is due end of June, beginning of July. She is approximately 85% sure she isn't going to want to go to the 500 this year, but I have some pushback on this. My question for you is, what is an acceptable amount of pushback from me to try to get that 15% back up to 100%? She loves the 500 and has gone every year since we were engaged years ago. I honestly think she would regret not going. Please see pertinent arguments/points before both sides. Our family has been going to, confirmed, every Indy 500 since World War I. Yes, World War I, not World War II. We do not miss the Indy 500. She knew the family tradition she was marrying into. She says it will be too hot. It could also end up being very comfortable in terms of air temperature. There are also countermeasures to the heat, light-colored clothing, ice packs, cold beverages, wet cloths, fans, etc., that we could prepare last minute if needed. This is the second child, and kids after the first tend to come early. She is mildly worried that with the extra stress of the race, added walking, potential heat, it could potentially cause her to go into labor at the track. We have an extra ticket that I've offered to give to her OB to ensure we would be fully prepared to deliver in the stands. I would also love for my daughter to be an Indy 500 statistic if she was born at the track. Plus, the hospital listed on her birth certificate would say Indianapolis Motor Speedway. How cool would that be?
It's a nice hospital.
There's a lot to unpack but I'm super excited.
There's a lot to unpack. First of all, let me commend your family for going to every Indy 500 since World War I. That's
incredible.
Amazing. So hats off to you guys. Here's what I got to say, man. This is the mother of your child. So you can't
soon
really
to be children.
Children, you can't really push back hard at all. And I got to say, if the Indy 500 was this important to you, you would have chosen better, you know, the day you decided. So like, this one's a little bit on you. You should let her stay at home in the AC.
Well, all right. So,
but wait, is the deal if she stays home that he has to stay home? Is that the deal?
Yeah, does he get to go?
Oh, well, no, that's ridiculous. Like, no, no. Like, she's not in labor today or the day of the race. Like, you can go to the race, have fun. Just don't make your wife go sit in the grandstands in the heat. Like, that's not
so. That leads me to my suggestion, which is, hey, this is a once in a lifetime thing. Potentially having a kid at the speedway. Buck up, buy some Home and Terrace suite tickets, and then she can sit inside, be comfortable, not have to walk around, and be in a much cleaner environment in case the kid comes.
I just love that they were going to get an extra ticket for the OB. Like
that shows his commitment, though. Yeah. Like if I'm the wife at that point, I was like, maybe I should just go because this is clearly going to bother him quite a bit.
Well, imagine being that doctor and getting that ask.
I think either way, to Alex's point, you're not gonna let a pregnant lady sit out in the heat of the grandstands. So she either gets to stay home,
light colored clothing,
you get her a sweet ticket. No ice packs. Like, what are we doing? But yes, I think there are ways to do this, but you might have to open the wallet up.
Copy. Yeah, the suite's a great idea actually, because then you're an elevator ride. There's not much walking. You're in air conditioning, catered food, and you're substantially closer to the infield care center than you would be out in a corner grandstand. So that's all theoretically very possible. So either write a check or let her stay at home.
I was just going to say, so if anyone out there listening has two extra suite tickets that they want to donate to this couple to keep the family tradition alive dating back to World War I, write us at askofftrack@gmail.com and we will help deliver these tickets and hopefully not have to help deliver a baby.
Well, I was just thinking about that too, because it's a really good deal. It's two tickets. By the end of the race is potentially three people. So you're not even like, the cost there isn't that crazy.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much food and beverage the kid's going to take, so it's actually a great deal.
Yeah.
Great deal for the sweet
probably holders. Won't drink much.
And now, you know the mom isn't.
The other thing I think we're missing here is that built-in DD at the end of the day, bringing the pregnant wife.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually a great point. Yeah. Maybe that's really the motivation here.
Yeah. Can I get a ride if you guys do come?
Getting an Uber out of there after the race would be a nightmare. So I just.
Well, I'm excited. All right. So, Alex, I'm shocked at your like level-headed advice there that he can't do pushback. I was expecting you coming out.
Yeah,
swinging,
but I followed it up with saying he solid. On the wrong day. So.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You did. Yeah. I think the best tense of that is, by the way.
But... Yeah.
Sorry. Can you imagine?
This segment of Ask Alex, not brought to you by Magnum.
Apparently, neither was the question.
Neither was the question. Cool. Oh, that's good. All right. So, yeah, NDGP's coming up. How do you like that place? Are you good there? Do you like it there? What are you thinking? How are we feeling?
Not good there. Don't like it. But at least we race there a lot.
I was looking at the stats. It is a very Penske track.
Oh.
It's a very Penske track.
Yeah.
And with the first four races all falling to Chevy, it's also a big horsepower track. And this will be like a good indication of, you know,
or
pure
a bad
horsepower
indication.
Between the two right now. Well, yes, depending which side of the war you're on. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, interesting to see if like Renus can still be up there. Obviously, he was quick in Portland. He won this race last year. It does appear that Chevy's doing something right at the minute.
He was quick in Portland?
Sorry, Barber.
Copy.
I don't know why I said that.
Yeah,
Portland.
Got it.
Yeah, no, for
see
sure.
Pato can keep up this streak. I don't know.
I think.
But yeah, Andretti struggled there.
Yeah,
it seems.
We're always very good in the races. You know, but like I think I've only made the fast six once, potentially twice. So we're always kind of like a 8th to 12th place car in qualifying, and we've been on the podium twice. Like we've been in the top five a lot. Like we go forward in the race, but we really struggle to extract that big bang of a lap out of the tire. And it's always incredibly tight there because we do go there so often. I think the last Harvest GP qualifying, the top six were all on the same 10th, and I was like 8th. So everyone did the same lap time. So it is very, very difficult there to start up front. But, you know, I think the big thing for this weekend is it's going to be our first properly hot event this year. So that'll be interesting for everyone. I remember the Indy GP race that we had in 2020 in August.
Oh,
and
that was terrible.
My gearbox blew up on lap 20, and I was relieved.
Dude, I remember that race was so hot. It was disgusting. It was just humid.
Yeah.
That's the day we really established that what kills you with the aero screen isn't even the ambient temperature, it's the humidity. And that August Midwestern humidity was brutal that day.
Yeah. So it's going to be not quite there, but approaching those levels this weekend, so that'll be interesting to see how that plays on everyone. And then yeah, I mean, I think as much as we love racing, as much as we love, you know, the excitement that comes Saturday and we get to have a race, like everyone's thinking about the 500 at this point. Like I'm so excited for Tuesday.
Yeah.
Get on track and have practice and really start to get things going before qualifying here in 10 days, so it'll be interesting.
Giddy up.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, it's this Saturday, the Indy GP. 2-day weekend for those that don't know. Practice, qualify Saturday or Friday, sorry. And then is there a warm up?
Warm up,
and then race Sunday.
Yeah. So busy day Friday. Saturday. So lots to check out. And then Saturday is actually going to be, in theory, the coolest day of the weekend. So if you're going to come watch us race, come get your month of May started,
come race day. Yeah. And then you get Sunday and Monday off, and then on track Tuesday, right?
Yeah, man,
good deal. All right, guys, well, tune in NBC. I don't know what time the race is. You know what it is? It's like noonish.
I have no idea, but Good luck with your your second scene of two that you have.
No, I already did it. Oh. I'm done. I'm wrapped for the day.
Oh wow, congrats.
So I'm just chilling here. I'm just like a set husband now. I'm just holding purses and fetching waters and stuff. So.
Oh, good.
All right. And for everybody who got tickets, we'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Live show, Speed Street podcast, co show thing. Connor Daly, Joan Molinaro, Sun King Brewery.
Gonna be a thing.
Cool.
See you there. Unless you don't come, then we won't. And we'll see you next
time. No, that's the one thing on his calendar.
Don't care either way.
Thanks so much for listening to Off Track with Hinch and Rossi. Keep in contact with us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is at AskOffTrack. Or you can follow us individually. We're at Hinchtown and at Alexander Rossi. If you want to follow Thim, though we have no idea why you would, he's at the Tim Durham. We really need to get that changed to add producer Thim. The music you heard today is by Ryan Dan of Holland Patton Public Library. Off Track with Hinch and Rossi is produced by Tim Durham. And by that I mean Thim.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.